A reading from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of the Lord.
Reading from the second book of Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Please stand for the gospel. Alleluia, alleluia. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It was really poignant. We had that hymn just now, the Advent course that Evander is leading. We studied that last Thursday. And it was so interesting when you put it in a worship context and you hear the words and you understand that Wesley wrote that probably as a rally cry for social injustice with children at that time in relation to Christ coming and healing all and bringing love and peace to the world. It means so much more when you understand. So the theme for this and other Advent times is about waiting. And Advent is a time of waiting symbolically and literally in the darkness. Nature is hibernating and our hearts too seem to hibernate. They seem to go to sleep sometimes as our heads and conditionings take over and we can become caught up in the material side of life and the shopping and glamour of Christmas, can't we? But actually, it's not so obvious this year, is it? COVID-19 has taken hold and taken us into a dark place, unprecedented in our lifetime, global in its geographical scale and deep in its spiritual scale. Everything about our social, economical, emotional, mental and spiritual well-being has been taken into the dark and is clamouring to find a way out into the sunlight. Advent just couldn't have come at the better time, and never has there been a need for permission to be in the dark than now. Never has there been a need to have permission to be vulnerable, to feel broken, to feel lost. We all have those dark lockdown stories in all ways, and some stories we're caught up in are heartbreaking stories of other people. And it was the same back then when Isaiah was bringing comfort and hope to those people of Israel captive in Babylonia. They were waiting for the day when they could return home. But mistakenly, they were likely thinking that it's business as usual. But no, things back then and today will never be the same again. But that actually doesn't mean that it won't be better. It won't be worse or different, it just won't be the same. The day will come, back then and for us, when sunlight will break through. But we're reminded by Peter how things work in God's world. Do not ignore this one fact, he says. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but it is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And repentance means to turn back to love, to turn back to security, to turn back to courtesy and kindness and justice. So what should we be doing in the meantime? He says leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved. Come, thou long expected Jesus, indeed. And today, we're introduced by Mark to John the Baptist, the one paving the way for that day, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Repent and be baptized, John urges. Why? So that God's love and purpose can be redeemed and restored. And Mark is very explicit in his proclaiming of the gospel of the good news of Christ. No stories, no birth, just the straight into the fact, a grown-up Jesus ready to begin his ministry, that we all have to prepare a way for the Lord to be able to stride him to come into our hearts and lives and begin his transforming acts of grace in our hearts and into the heart of the world. This gospel that we're going to be following this year is very immediate, harsh almost. We're beginning to be implored into action, mobilized with passion. And it begins, this gospel, as Genesis begins, in the beginning. Here, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that Jesus is the Son of God. He tells you right at the beginning. You don't have no mystery here. This gospel is written for Gentiles. And the title, Christ, Anointed One, does not have the same authority for Gentiles as for Jews at that time. Christ means Messiah. The title Son of God, however, speaks to Gentiles of an all-powerful being. But by including both titles, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Mark denotes Jesus' authority in terms that both Jews and Gentiles can appreciate, in terms that we can all appreciate. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, meeting people where they are. As I said last week, wreath making, quiz nights, coffee mornings. All these things meet people where they are. It's about hospitality, welcome and love, making people feel worthy of belonging and not out of their depth. But either way, our call to action will involve a time in the wilderness, long, lonely, barren, not only physically, but spiritually. This call by John didn't happen in the temple. It happened out there, where those of faith had been tested and called in the past. It happened in the wilderness. John lived in the wilderness and showed us what that meant. But he also proclaimed the way out of the wilderness, compelling us to drink from the water that becomes a water of life when we say it does. John is a foreshadowing of Jesus. We follow John so we can then follow Jesus when he comes. Mark is showing us the journey from the wilderness and dark place of freedom and light. And this journey is unique in that it won't promise that darkness won't consume us again, but in that we will have a shining light to show us the way. I think the message is there. Do not be afraid of being in the wilderness. Embrace it, because God is with us and he will show us that he's with us. He will light the way. When the birth of his Son takes place, we will realize that God has been with us all along, in spirit, in our hearts, and in the way we are being guided from darkness of all that removes peace and harmony, so that restoration can be so. Since March, the world, nations, communities, churches, ourselves have felt like stragglers in the wilderness, surely. But don't you think we have been in it all along, because sustainable peace harmony, justice and mercy and love, they haven't been sustainable in our world. They've been short-lived, with some wanting to control and compete for the top spots of life. But now we're all being stripped bare, bit by bit. Whatever avenue of society, everything is being stripped bare. One way or another, it seems we will be shown the true reality of life, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, to be with family and community, to take care of each other, to live smaller. This message comes to John in the wilderness, and we are being shown the significance of the wilderness tradition in Jewish times. Long before John and Jesus came along, it was a place of desolation and scarcity. It demands we step outside our comfort zone, that we become more accessible to God, a God who is at work in a profound, transformational way in that emptiness, and in the emptiness of our own lives at times, when we have no idea why this is happening. We have no idea, what is that all about? I don't know about you, but I have been saying that in lockdown. What is this? I had no idea. But faith held strong will help God to comfort us through our no idea-ness and get us through. And maybe in time we might have an idea. It may not be this side of heaven's gate, but I'm sure we will. People back then were in need of a saviour, a healer and deliverer. And don't you think today we're saying the same thing? Never was our need of a saviour, of a healer, of a deliverer more poignant than it is today. To reach Jesus, we need to cross the desert that leads to the Jordan and the water of life. Our Advent time is our wilderness time, if we make it so, of waiting, preparing and praying. But another thing about the wilderness is that the air is clear. It's pure. We can think straight in clear air. And wasn't that ever true in lockdown? Things became purer, didn't they? The air became cleaner and richer. The birds were singing louder. Still and silent and unpolluted, it seemed, our lives were. We're being prepared for the Lord's nativity, to experience our personal and collective encounter in some new way, and to breathe in new and clean air of hope. And I leave you with this to ponder. Who are you here and now, as I've done, as I was writing and reflecting on this? Isaiah speaking to you and me, not to Jerusalem, but to us, the generation 2020. Listen to what he's saying and think about how it makes you feel and how you can make it a reality in your heart and life today, as you and me watch and wait together. This is Isaiah speaking the word of the Lord to us. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to these people of 2020 and cry to them that they have served their term, that their penalty is paid. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground will become level, and rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people of this generation 2020 shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen.